Hello again, I'm Brandon Huber from North Carolina State University. I'm going to be talking about optimized production using supplemental CO2 and reduced DOI for production of grafted transplants. So in 2005, methyl bromide was banned by the EPA, which made it more difficult for farmers to maintain some of the soil-borne diseases. So the experimental problem is that there's not enough availability of high-quality grafted plants to meet the demand for the Southeast and across the U.S. Grafted plants that have a high production cost, however, and compared to a non-grafted seedling, because there's a lot more inputs that go into it. Some of our main grafted nurseries in the U.S., there is grafted growers, Plug Connection, Trihistel, but there's not many other than that. A couple nurseries to select from. So a potential solution is to use precision indoor propagation, which could produce production quality and affordability of plants. The PIP systems is something that we coined in my lab at Ricardo Hernandez's lab at NC State, just precisely controlling the environment to precisely control plant quality. Some of the benefits of controlled environments is uniform plant growth, high density production, early flowering, and year-round production without environmental constraints. However, some of the challenges are the high energy usage, right? So you're supplying 100% of the light to these plants, which you would typically grow in a greenhouse where you have the solar, the energy from the sun. So the experimental objective was to reduce the light demand, the DOI, by using supplemental CO2 and while maintaining plant quality. From literature, we know that CO2 supplementation can improve yield and photosynthesis, and that it's inexpensive in controlled environments. So a system that has low air exchange rate, it's not leaky, is going to be very inexpensive to supplement. For our varieties that we selected, we're going to use Rebelski, and Rebelski is a greenhouse standard tomato, and Maxifort, a very popular rootstock that offers disease resistance. The results that I'll be talking about will be from two reps. I just finished my third rep, but this data is involving the first two reps. So these three CO2 treatments we're working with, 1,600 parts per million, 1,000 parts per million, and 400 micromoles per mole. During the 18-hour photo period, there's a six-hour nighttime period that is at nighttime. We actually suck out the CO2 and we return it to ambient. And this is actual data from the chamber. You can see we monitor it by the minute to see to make sure that what we actually, you know, we're getting what we are looking for. So within each chamber, there's three light levels. There's 100 micromoles, equivalent of a 6.5 DOI, 150 micromoles, and a 200 micromoles. And keep in mind, the experimental control that we considered is the 200 micromoles at ambient CO2, so roughly around 400. The spectral quality during the photo period, we used a 60-40 red-to-blue ratio LEDs. For all the treatments, you can see that my nine treatment groups fall under each of these curves, so they're very consistent across the different chambers for the same light intensity. They all receive an end-of-day exposure for 30 minutes at the end of the 18-hour photo period of roughly around 14 millimoles peaking at like 740 nanometers. Within each chamber, we monitor things like the actual CO2, the day temperature, the night temperature, relative humidity. You can see that it's relatively consistent for the temperature and night. Of course, CO2 is different in each chamber. We were able to keep ambient down to 439. The building CO2 typically is sitting around that, so it's hard to get much lower than that. 18-hour photo period, nutrient solution 6.1, and EC is 1.9, consistent across all the treatments. So our hypothesis was that under that high CO2 treatment, 1,600 micromoles, that we could produce equal quality plants under half the DOI, based on some supporting literature. So let's take a look at some of our results. If you look here, you can see that the control reached a grafting stage around 43 milligrams. And so we could achieve that same dry mass with 29.5% less light under the high CO2 treatment. Looking at 1,000, we could reduce our light by 17% with a DLI of 10.79. This data was taken at the first harvest at 15 days after sowing. If we take a closer look at the plants themselves, we can see that the stem diameter actually, so this, the photo to the left there is grown under 9.7, which is one of our treatment groups. Like I mentioned, you could reduce it 29%. This is 25%. And you see that the stem diameter is actually significantly the same, but larger, slightly larger, and the dry mass is a little lower, but the stem diameter is higher. So stem diameter, dry mass, you may not have the same dry mass, but stem diameter may be a little variable there. But and then if we look at Wrobelski, we see that the dry mass is about 30 to reach the graft threshold. We can achieve the same thing with 1,000 CO2 reached it at a 6.7 DOI based on the linear curve, and then at 7.3 for the 1,600 micromoles actually. Was a little, the 1,000 surpassed the 1,600 based at that light level, which was interesting. So perhaps above that CO2, there may not be much more additional effect at that light level. If we look at the plants, we'll see at this point they had the statistically similar stem diameter and dry mass as well. And so now, as far as decreasing production time, so how much could you potentially decrease the production time? We see, here's my 9 treatments and how they finish. Remember, when they cross the 1.8 millimeter threshold, they're ready to graft. So they each cross this at a different rate, right? If we see how they separate statistically, one thing jumps out, that the control and the 1600 by 100 micromole light, half the DOI, have statistically the same finish point. And also, the high CO2 and high light combination finish nearly 2 days sooner, and that's that top right line there. If we look closer at the control and the 1600 with the half DLI, we see that these lines follow very similarly with each other. If we look at that the high light and high CO2 treatment, we see that it gets quite ahead of the other lines. Both of these, the control and the reached at 15.4 days, and then the high CO2 high light reached at 13.6. That's a 12% faster. So if we look at this slide here, the one on the left, we have the high light high CO2 treatment finishes at 13.6 days. Stem diameter 1.8, and the dry mass is 46. These other two on the right finished almost 2 days later with comparable stem diameter. The dry mass is a little more variable, but the interesting note is that the stem diameter is at the same threshold. Just to look at how elevated CO2 at the same light level affects the plant growth. You could see that, well, at our first harvest, it's a little less noticeable, but as you get later, the growth is much more dramatic. But you can see the stem diameter varies from 1.87 at the high light, high CO2, and then when you have ambient, you have 1.62. And the dry mass is also greatly affected by that enhanced CO2. At the bottom there, you'll see how many days each of those treatments take to finish that, to reach that threshold. You have varied from 13.6 to 16.8 at the same DOI, just different CO2. So in summary, the DOI can be reduced 29 to 48% based on these findings and still produce the same quality dry mass when you elevate CO2 to 1,600 micromoles. Production time can be reduced as much as 12%, 2 days, while still obtaining a similar stem diameter. There is a cultivar difference. Like I showed, one could go almost 50% reduction, and one was more like 29. Now, how does this apply for a grower and comparing the cost of CO2 to electricity? I'm not going to go heavy into this calculation at all. I'm just showing you how you can calculate your electricity usage, the daily electric energy used by your lighting, and it incorporates how many lamps you have, the wattage, etc. If anyone's interested in this further, you can talk to me later about it. And then you have your CO2 calculation, right? So how much CO2 you're going to need in this, and this is affected by things like how leaky your chamber or growing environment is, your photosynthetic rate of those plants, how big this facility is, the photo period. So a lot go into it. And again, you can ask me later about this. I won't bore you with it. So looking at cost comparison, based on our findings, we found that, you know, CO2, so here I just left three treatment groups here. The controls at the top, you can see that CO2 costs a penny to per flat of seedlings, but electricity costs 33 cents. So total cost 34 cents. If we, the second one, we reduce the light by half, we have elevated CO2. CO2 costs us now 3 cents, but our electricity cost is reduced because we use less, we use half the light, and 19 cents. So we cut it 44% in energy. And again, similar story with Maxifort. Maxifort required a little more light, so the savings was a little lower, but still close to 30%. So in conclusion, under the high light and high CO2 treatment, you can produce transplants really fast, the quickest, 2 days sooner than others. However, the most cost-effective recipe is high CO2, low light, and CO2 supplementation costs at the most cost 10% compared to electricity. Savings of 28 to 44% production costs with supplemental CO2 can be achieved based on these cultivars and our findings. So growers can decide what recipe works best for them based on their application that they and their facility that they have. Just looking at some future work, we're going to test watermelons in a similar growing environment. We're going to compare the systems. We're going to compare, see how these plants perform in a normal environment once they've been grown at excessive CO2, et cetera, how they transplant and shock and whatnot. And with that, I'd like to thank my lab, Dr. Kubota, and the rest of my lab. Kubota helped me with the calculation, figuring that calculation stuff out. So with that and the rest of my lab. So with that, I'll take questions. Yeah. Hey, Doc. Thank you.
What's the price base for the
CO2 we used? Price based? Oh, we used 48 cents per, it was 48 cents per kilogram.
And that's average?
So that's the price we use that we get billed at the Phytotron, the NC State Phytotron. We just converted it over to that, so to kilograms. The pounds, yeah, but that is a big component that could affect that cost. But it's still based on that cost is very cost effective, and that's also forgot to mention that's a 0.5 air exchange rate. So you're losing half of your air per hour. That's kind of leaky. Yeah.
Do you know what your refrigeration costs are related to energy for the lighting?
That's a good question. So basically what I present here, I forgot to mention, is mostly utility cost. There is other components, I'm sure, that like all that, the cooling and whatnot. Definitely something I should look into. Yes?
Do you think that stem diameter and dry weight measurements adequately describe the growth responses you observed? The plants you showed were incomparable treatments look different.
Yeah, they're definitely taller. So we did measure all that. It was just too much to present in this short time. The lower light treatments do elongate a little more. However, some of the real high light with the high blue ratio in the LEDs, you get very compact plants, and some of those taller ones are almost probably more desirable because they have that hypocotyl length for grafting purposes. But they do look different. So would you recommend any sort of thing to look at other, yeah. Thank you.